This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370, call 800-605-5370.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Les Smolin-Vistage. Mike Ross now, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Beth Berman, Association for Enterprise Growth, and Doug White Glass Jacobson. We have a great lineup of guests on our show today. Les, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure. We have B.A. Spignardo, Senior Counsel at Shapiro, Lifshitz, and SRAM. Michael Wellman, Founder and CEO of Virgil Security. And Yvette Freeman, Principal and Managing Partner at District Design and Development, and Bentley Hamilton, CEO, Multi-Therapeutic Services, Inc.
Let's get to know our first guest, B.A. Spignardo, Senior Counsel at Shapiro, Lifshitz, and SRAM. B.A., what is Shapiro, Lifshitz, and SRAM? What are you guys doing?
We are a boutique law firm in DuPont Circle with a transactional practice and also a litigation practice.
Mm-hmm.
And my focus is commercial real estate.
And how large or small is the firm?
Attorneys.
And how about support staff?
Probably about 12 to 15 support staff as well.
All right. And where are you from originally?
I'm from McLean, Virginia.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have two older sisters and a younger brother.
So you're third of four.
Third of four, always trying to get attention.
I see. So tell us, what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Very active. I played soccer, I played basketball, and my ultimate focus became field hockey.
And tell us a little bit, what roles did you play on those teams?
I always seemed to emerge as a leader on those teams.
What specific role did you have on those teams? What was your position?
So when I played basketball, I was the point guard. Mm-hmm. In soccer, I was a defender. And in field hockey, I ended up playing field hockey for a Division I school and was also a defender and ultimately the captain of that team.
Mm-hmm. Doug, what's that mean? You know sports real well.
So that means that you have to have awareness of not just what you're doing, but what the whole field is doing at the time. Is that correct?
That's correct. Teamwork has always been a big theme and has followed me through my schooling, my family, and my career.
Mm-hmm. And did the fact with your brothers and sisters, did that help build that teamwork?
Yes, we definitely functioned as a team in terms of just coexisting, the four of us. Always very athletic. My siblings are also very sporty. But it also allowed me to express myself and become an individual because I chose a different sport and chose to focus on a different path.
Hmm. Interesting. Who's got the next question here?
What do you mean you chose a different sport and wanted to be on a different path?
Well, so field hockey was something that I wanted to focus on. It provided the biggest challenge for me. It didn't come as easy to me. I've always embraced challenges and wanted to work hard and see the results of my hard work and pursued playing field hockey in college.
Why was that so important?
Well, being on a team has always been important to me, and being athletic, being involved in constantly being in movement has always been important to me, so I wanted to be able to pursue that and play it at the highest level, play it at a Division I school.
Hmm. What'd you get from all that personally?
Well, I absolutely understand that hard work produces results, and also I have a great sense of discipline. I've been able to juggle being a student and being an athlete at very high levels throughout my life, and that has been a great help to my career, being able to juggle multiple deals at once, having a great sense of discipline, and also being a part of a team. I work at my law firm functions as a team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michael?
What's been your common role on the teams, whether it's family, your law firm, or during sports?
So definitely a leadership role. The University of Richmond had the only school of leadership in the country when I matriculated there, and I was a minor in leadership. And I always look for the chance to step forward and to be the one leading or guiding a group and leading and guiding a transaction. So definitely looking to be a leader.
Mm-hmm. Beth?
This theme of teamwork keeps coming up. In terms of how you work with your clients, how does that play out?
So being at a boutique law firm, our clients look to us not just for specific tasks and specific transactions. We really function as the general counsel for a lot of our clients. They want us to cover many different roles in many different areas. We have so many returning clients. We really function together with our clients. It's not just their lawyer telling them. It's really in the role of counselor. We are giving them constant advice. They are coming to us on many different tasks and deals and many different practices of law. And within our firm, we all work together, be it the paralegals mm-hmm. up to the partners. We're all working together.
Yeah, so being on a team, you're also very competitive, it seems like. You're also in
a field.
Ask
my siblings that.
Yes. You also are in a field that has to be very competitive.
Yes.
So how did growing up build that competitiveness? It's a whole family like you?
My siblings are very successful and, yes, very competitive, a healthy competition amongst the siblings, not just for attention of our parents, but for in our own athletic endeavors and our own schooling. And I think it helped me embrace challenge. And even now, I don't shy away from, oh gosh, this deal is going to require a lot of brain work. This is going to be a tough deal. Constantly looking for challenges, constantly accepting challenges, and knowing that hard work will pay off and that it can get done. And it can get done with the help of a team.
What did mom and dad do for a living?
My father was an editorial director at the Bureau of National Affairs,
and
my mom, a preschool teacher and a stay-at-home mom.
So what are you bringing from mom into work every day?
Definitely relationship focus. My mom, not only an amazing mom with the four kids, but being able to handle a classroom of preschoolers, mm-hmm. the importance of relationships.
What did you hear about your mom? You told me earlier when we were speaking that, you know, your mom was the best. What do you mean she was the best?
She is the best, and I strive every day to try to be even just a smidgen of the person she is in terms of her patience, her ability to understand people, and her ability to her relationship.
So even though your mom was teaching preschool, even though you see the challenge there of being able to manage 30 kids.
Absolutely. And that's something that I take into my own workplace every day, managing a team, working with paralegals, working with other attorneys, working with clients who have their own staff mm-hmm. and their own
teams. Dad was an editorial director. What are you bringing from dad to work every day?
Definitely a very technical skill of being a good writer. Mm-hmm. My dad's background is in journalism.
So I hear, you know, on one hand, the family was, you know, you guys were pretty competitive. But also earlier when we were speaking in the green room, what hit me was how close you were. Is that having any effect on the workplace environment you chose and, you know, how you work in the workplace?
Absolutely. My background training is in big law. My firm right before Shapiro, Lifshitz & Schramm had 1,200 attorneys. So I went from 1,200 attorneys to 15 attorneys because this is much more the atmosphere that I'm comfortable in.
What is more the atmosphere you're comfortable in?
Working together, working within a smaller group, being lean, being flexible, being efficient, and producing results.
Huh. So you really enjoy you really enjoy interfacing with the clients, solving the problems. You know, you love working within smaller teams.
Yes, and I'm definitely a relationship person, which I bring from my mom. I like people. I like being able to service the clients and get the job done for the clients at
mm-hmm.
the end of the day.
Yeah, it sounds like earlier when Doug was talking to you about, you know, being on the sports team, it's like, you know, you like making sure that the whole field is clear in front of you and getting it past the goal line.
Yes, there are so many parallels you can draw from being an athlete and playing on teams growing up to working in the type of law firm environment that I work.
Do you really see parallels there, or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, I really do. I really do see parallels. I see I have the opportunity to lead my own transactions, but the ability to draw on the experience of the partners and the other attorneys I work with, we all have a passion. And when you're an athlete at a very high level, if you are not loving the sport, the amount of time that you are putting into it, it is going to be much more painful than fruitful. And same with the practice of law. If you're not passionate about what you're doing, you're not going to produce good results.
Mm-hmm. We've got the next question.
I'm struggling a little bit because I'm hearing something that maybe you're not saying yet, but maybe you have already. I get this sense that it's not just about the money, you know, which, you know, you're a lawyer, you can make a whole lot of money, and it's not just about being first, though you've been very competitive. So what's in it for you?
So I'm at the point in my career now where I want to truly be able to use my law degree for the power of good and produce results for the clients. I love the practice of commercial real estate. I love working on projects that ultimately result in big things, hotels, stadiums, golf courses, multifamily, and being able to counsel and assist clients to achieve results.
So what was the power of good growing up for you from all the things that you engaged in?
I definitely drew on the family that I grew up in. Everybody had their own characteristics, and everybody had a trait that I so greatly admired that I wanted to bring into my own teamwork, my own education, and I just appreciate that I had the family growing up that I did.
So you didn't need to be first at everything? I mean, you went to TJ.
I did. I went to Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. Well, I would say that I always strove to be the best. That didn't always end up with me being first, but it ended up with me pushing myself, challenging myself, and that's something I still embrace to this day.
What is?
Challenging myself. Mm-hmm. Every day. I never want to be complacent. I never want to just sit back and say, today, I didn't really do much. I want to look back at my day at the end of each day and say, I helped a client, I produced the best work that I could produce, and I'm still passionate about what I do and can't wait to do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of Shapiro?
SLSlaw.com.
Let me have that one more time.
SLSLAW.com.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part of your day?
The best part of my day is absolutely when I'm packing up my bag and I'm looking at my legal pad and I'm looking at not only what I accomplished today, but what I have to look forward to tomorrow. And then I get to go home to my family and get re-energized for coming back to the office the next day.
Website address one more time.
SLSlaw.com.
We've been speaking with B.A. Spignardo, Senior Counsel, Shapiro, Lipschitz, and Schramm here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about executive leaders. Back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight.
Whoa, nice.
That's great.
And your name is?
I'm Tina Leone. I'm the CEO of the Ballston Business Improvement District.
And what is the Ballston Business Improvement District?
We work to attract, support, and connect the most compelling, creative, and ambitious minds in our region. Ballston is known as an epicenter for research and discovery. Some of the greatest things that are invented, such as the MRI, the barcode, the internet, the first satellite, all were either conceived, funded, or developed by organizations here in Ballston.
How old is this organization?
We're just shy of 6 years old.
How long have you been there? How long have you been there?
Almost 6 years as well.
Did you found this organization?
Yes, I am the founding CEO.
Why'd you do that?
Well, the organization actually came about by the commercial property owners in Ballston.
Why does it turn you on? Why does your gig turn you on?
People. I mean, the ability to connect people, and then who knows, the next great idea is going to result from that. We have incredible minds in the Washington, D.C. area, and Ballston is, as I said, the epicenter for the smartest people in this area.
So your job, you're like the master connector.
I feel like the mayor of Ballston, the mayor of innovation, because that's what's happening.
So your idea, your thought is, in order to create more stuff, in order to launch more businesses, in order to cause more good, it's a matter of connecting the right people.
Exactly.
And you like being in the middle of all that stuff.
Oh, we love it. We love it. And simple things, just connecting people through events, through art, through a happy hour. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to come out of that. Mm-hmm. That's what's exciting.
So it's all about the people. And you're the founder of this organization. Is this a 9-to-5 kind of job for you?
Oh, hell no. It's a lot longer than that, baby.
So do you have to work the weekends and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Let me have the website address of this organization.
Sure, it's BallstonBid.com, and you can download the Ballston Connect mobile app.
Let me have that website address one more
time. BallstonBid.com.
It's B-A, give me the spelling on that.
BallstonBid.com.
Excellent. Your name again is?
Tina Leone.
And the name of the organization?
Is the Ballston Business Improvement District.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. Back in a moment.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow.
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with Michael Wellman, founder and CEO of Virgil Security. Michael, what is Virgil Security? What do you guys do?
Virgil Security provides software building blocks so other developers can add security to their own products without having to become security experts themselves.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
I was born outside Little Rock, Arkansas, in a kind of small rural town.
Outside of Arkansas. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two brothers, two sisters. So I'm the second. I have one older brother.
You're the second of five. And how are you different than the rest?
I'd have to say I might have been a little bit more driven than they were.
Mm-hmm. Give me an example, 8 to 14, how that drive showed up.
So, you know, the favorite story from that would be, you know, one of my neighbors had one a very early personal computer, and I taught myself to program. And, you know, that meant back in the time I had to, like, write my own languages to program in.
So I understand that you had some sort of an early commercial success. Why don't you tell us about that?
One of the things that I ended up doing when I was using my neighbor's computer to program is eventually MicroProse had some games, and I ended up making some modifications to those games and sending them back to MicroProse. Mm-hmm. They ended up adding them to their software to make it run faster. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I paid for part of my college with the money from that.
So you were writing code as a kid. Didn't you also tell me that the individual that let you borrow the computer, whose computer you're working on, asked you to write some sort of a program, and you ended up selling him a program?
Yeah, so the trade I made with him is in exchange for getting to use his program, getting to use his computer, I wrote him an inventory control system when I was, I guess, 10.
Mm-hmm. Doug, what do you got?
Yeah, so where does your drive come from? Coming from a small town, and, you know, now you have a business that is worldwide.
Right. So a lot of it, I think, came from growing up in rural Arkansas. We had a lot of neighbors who were poor, and my family wasn't always well-to-do. And I knew that if you wanted to not have to worry about what you were going to eat next week, you needed to succeed. And so a lot of my focus on success and drive was figuring out what I could do to get that kind of security for my family.
Give me that again. Tell me that again.
So, you know, we had several poor neighbors, and my family wasn't that well-to-do. So we oftentimes had to worry about things like what were we eating, how were we paying the rent and the bills.
You had to worry about what you were going to eat. I mean, so you guys didn't have a lot of money back then.
No, we didn't. My brother and I don't hunt and fish to this day because oftentimes we, you know, had to go do that in order to have meat next week.
So what did that do to you?
It made me kind of pessimistic about things. It made me do a lot of planning and thinking about what I was going to do and how I was going to achieve things.
So it increased your drive. So you're a planner because of that, and you're also driven because of that.
Right.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Yeah, what does success have to do with what you do now in terms of security?
So a lot of my work, once I had some options about what I was doing, ended up being about connecting people to the Internet and giving them access to information, because I thought the information I had gathered as a child helped me succeed. So I spent 20 or 30 years building connected devices to connect people to the Internet. And at the time we built those, you know, security was always an afterthought. And we added security to them later, but I came to the realization several years back that, you know, I knew a lot more about adding security to products because I'd been doing it for 30 years, and so we wanted to give people the ability to do that to their own products. So it was kind of a next step in Making the internet easy to use was then to make it safer to use.
But not to make a whole lot of money.
We'll make money in the process, but the underlying goal we said early on was that we'd measure success by changing security on the internet, not by how much money we made.
Beth?
This theme of change and doing things differently keeps reverberating. How else did that play out in your early years?
I moved up into Washington, D.C. in 1990 to work on, I think I was the third engineer into a company that was making internet software. We ended up making AOL's first web browser, Apple's first web browser. We went through a series of transactions where we were bought and sold by other companies. I ended up inside Lucent. We built the first two generations of Apple's Wi-Fi product. So, the early wireless networking was a thing where, at the time, people were like, well, why would you want wireless networking? You can plug wires in. They'll always be faster. I've been blessed to work on many kinds of technologies that, were fundamental changes in technology. And we think with Virgil we're going to do the same for security.
So you like shaking things up and kind of shifting
making
them
things better and changing them. But you look around and there's a lot of inefficiency in the way we're doing things. A kind of recurring theme has been empowerment and improvements and efficiency. And that makes the economy better. That gives people better jobs.
Give us another example, 8 to 14, of how you saw things could be done better. 8 to 14.
That has to go way back. My father worked for AT&T at that point in time and was doing things with their microwave communications network. And, it was one of those interesting things, even being inside the environment of AT&T, you could see where they had standard policies and procedures for do things, but every so often you could, find, if you made this very small change to, how they stored these boards, they were easier to find the boards that failed all the time. So it's, a very small incremental thing, but it went across.
You've had ideas on how to do things better since you were a kid.
Well, some people say you just, ask the lazy person to do it and the bottom line is
you're not giving yourself enough credit. You look at things. You're always trying to figure out ways to do things better.
Better, faster, cheaper.
Uh-huh. Doug, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Yeah, so earlier back in the green room that you were talking about, you were driven to go to college and you had to get straight A's.
How many years did you get straight A's?
Well, so I saw a special on Dr. Feynman, who was at Caltech when I was, in fifth grade. And at the time, school was kind of boring. I was, not really doing much with it because I spent most of my time in the library just reading. So I didn't get good grades. But I knew that in order to go to Caltech, I was going to have to get straight A's.
How many years did you get straight A's?
So that would have been, from the next year, sixth grade through high school.
Oh, so 5 or 6 years straight you got straight A's. Excuse me. Doug, what was your question there?
Yes. So besides the straight A's, did you stand out in anything else?
I won awards in music. I was, all state on viola, all region on violin, viola, and cello. Lettered in a couple of different sports.
But you weren't really the kind of guy to stand out front, were you?
I usually preferred to make the people around me better. So I liked to be the person whispering in the ear of, if you did this.
Doug, are you seeing something about his career that has something to do with that?
Yeah, so is that what led you to cyber and the dark world then? Not standing out but helping others?
Partially. I think I described it once as, I like to keep my secrets secret until I decide somebody else should know them. Mm-hmm. So giving other people the ability to do that, was a driver.
Gotcha. Michael?
Have you always been more of a risk taker, being at the forefront of the internet now?
I never viewed it as taking a risk because we always had a plan for how we were going to turn it into something bigger than what people thought it could be. So I have what appear from the outside to be, pretty large risk, but usually there's a lot of contingency and planning behind them.
So you by nature are taking, you're conservative by nature, even though you're taking risks.
Right.
So you're constantly planning contingency plans, but looking at the big picture.
Absolutely.
So you're always thinking, aren't you?
Unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So,
yes, but you don't always follow the rules, too. It seems to me, for example, you told me how you hired someone at Lucent that, basically, because of his age and lack of education, didn't make it, but you saw something in him and you helped figure out a way to get him in.
So, and he's actually now my co-founder at Virgil. Mm-hmm. He was 18 years old, straight out of high school at the point in time that I hired him, and Lucent required college degrees and 21 years of age. We later found out he was, the youngest employee at Lucent. There was a sequence of things that we could do that got him in the door.
You're seeing things better. Michael, what's the website address for Virgil Security?
It's at virgilsecurity.com. virgil.com, V-I-R-G-I-L, security.com.
We've been speaking with Michael Wellman, founder and CEO of Virgil Security, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Nice interview.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-595-6619. That's 800-595-6619. Again, 800-595-6619.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. You, the patients, taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists, doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors who care for everyone. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill. Pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off. Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And we'd like to introduce Yvette Friedman, who is the Principal and Managing Partner of District Design and Development. Yvette, what is District Design and Development? What are you guys doing?
We're a boutique real estate and development firm based out of Washington, D.C.
And tell me, how large or how small is your organization?
We're about $27 million to date.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
From a really tiny town called Pocosin, Virginia, about the size of Mayberry.
And what was the population of that town when you were growing up?
I think it was about 40,000 people.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother, Joe. He's the reason I came to Washington 20 years ago.
And tell us, what was going on with you about ages 8 to 14? How would you describe yourself?
I was definitely a tomboy. Mm-hmm. Still a tomboy, minus the red fingernails that I have now.
Didn't you tell me, you mentioned earlier when we were speaking, that you had to go make your own fun. And tell me a little bit more of how you went about making your own fun.
Make your own fun, my mom's favorite expression. Tiny town, so no real municipal programming, not a lot for kids to do. So we had a neighborhood full of 13 or 14 kids, and so everybody did something different. The cool kid at the end of my block had a really great big wheel. Some other kids had fireworks and jump ropes and cool toys. So we had a lot behind our house with a swimming pool on it, and I brought all the kids together so that we could make our own playground.
So the way you were expressing your creativity, making your own fun back then, was creating a community fundamentally, weren't you?
Absolutely. I didn't understand it then, but I definitely understand it now.
What do you mean?
I didn't understand that's what I was doing. I thought we were just creating a place for us to play that was safe and fun until our parents got home from work. Now I definitely understand that what I was doing then is exactly what I'm doing now at 48. I'm building communities in the district.
Mm-hmm. Doug?
Yeah, so your company is developing communities, is what you say. But what are you doing different than any other developer out there?
I think it's a special talent to be able to build somebody a really beautiful home. And I certainly hope that that's what we do. More importantly, though, for us is that we build you a beautiful community. So I want your house to rise up to greet you, but I want your neighborhood community to do that as well. So I want you to come home to a place that's safe and clean and beautiful. And so what we do at D3 is we organize your flower boxes. We make sure that your parks are clean and safe and free of debris. If we need to put in trash cans, we put in trash cans. If we need to install streetlights, we put in streetlights. And I don't go to D.C. for the money to do that. We do that ourselves. We self-perform. We make you a really beautiful community so that everybody can live in a safe place, just like how I grew up in Pocosin.
So not only the organizer, but you're also mindful of all the details that make a community a community. Where'd you learn that from?
I think I learned it from my dad. So my dad was an engineer, a very focused guy, very structured, very organized, very focused on the details. In fact, at D3, our tagline is details, details, details for that reason. I look at absolutely every piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Beth, you have a question?
That concept of puzzle, do you like figuring things out and pulling them back together? I get the sense of community, but it also seems as if there's this bringing together and figuring it out piece that is lighting you up.
Beth, I think you crawled into my brain. So I like the ugly duckling to the beautiful swan. So I do love the puzzle. I love all the pieces. I like figuring out the way that I can bring the best pieces together. I bring some of those pieces. My business partner brings some of those pieces. Other people in the community bring those pieces. And together, we form a really good team to make a really great project and a community.
You mentioned earlier that your cousins grew up next door. I'm wondering what the effect of that was.
Very small family. So I have one brother and I have three great cousins and we shared a fence line. So it was really nice. It was being able to have a bigger family without everybody living under one roof. So it was really nice.
Sense of community again. It wasn't just yourself. It was community nearby.
Absolutely. And all of us are very different. My one cousin is a very strong athlete. Another one took over our grandfather's commercial waterman's business. So we're all so different, which is exactly what our parents instilled in us. Dare to be different. Don't be like everybody else.
Huh. Michael, what are you thinking?
What's the hardest part about creating community or small town feel in an urban metropolis like Washington, D.C.?
It's interesting because most people think real estate development and they kind of cringe or make the face. They think, oh, you're going to come in and you want to make a lot of money and then you want to leave. That's not what we do. I actually live in Bloomingdale in D.C. I moved to that neighborhood before it gentrified for that reason. I wanted to be different. We wanted to make sure that we didn't give you that same reaction. So the hardest part is overcoming the hurdle that we're not a traditional developer. I'm not going to take any more from your neighborhood than I'm going to give you. I'm going to take, obviously, when we sell our home, but I hope that I give you back way more than I ever took out. And that's what makes us different. But it's a challenge to convince people that we're not going to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Doug, what else are you thinking?
Yes. So that you were mentioning before growing up in a small town and with a family kind of feel that they kind of helped you, that environment helped you find your way. Are you helping other people like us find their way now?
I sure hope so. You know, we got off our school bus with a neighbor because my parents both worked. And then it was another neighbor on Tuesday nights that we had dinner at their home and their table because, again, my parents were working. My mother was in politics and worked a full-time job and had the two of us. So I certainly hope that we are offering people the opportunity to get to know their neighbors and get to know of a sense of community and how to make a safe environment. My goal every day is to make sure that I connect somebody that didn't know someone in their neighborhood.
Give me that again. You're supposed to be a real estate developer, but give me that goal. I thought the goal was to put up another apartment building or another. What was that goal?
Don't get me wrong. I like to build beautiful spaces, mixed use hotels. What's more important to me is that I'm connecting people in the community. We're never going to survive if I just build you a big house. But if I build you a big, pretty house next to a neighbor that you didn't know before, and you guys become friends and you share resources and you share knowledge and your kids play with their kids, I've built you a community then.
So you're taking that in terms of architecting the community. You're taking these interactions, helping cause these interactions in your architecting.
Absolutely. That's what's most important. Anybody can build you a pretty house.
Mm-hmm. But you're taking into consideration stuff you remember from your own childhood of how you were creating a community, bringing that right into the design of these communities.
Absolutely. I am the exact same person. I didn't realize it then, but I want people to have the same experience, even though we live in D.C. and it's very busy and we have a transient community. You still should have the ability to have comfort in your own neighborhood, in your own community.
Hmm. Interesting.
What about your brother, Joe, that you had mentioned? You followed him here. I mean, you guys seem to have a close relationship, right?
We absolutely do. I followed Joe here 20 years ago, and we work together every day. He's my real estate agent, definitely my best friend. I see him at least once a day, talk to him probably 10 or 15 times a day. So,
is he surprised by the success you've had?
He's thankful. We work together every day, highs and lows. So Joe's my greatest supporter, my biggest strength. He's also my worst critic, which helps me grow, helps me get better.
Hmm. So your brother, you have a really close relationship with him. Huh, that's cool. Beth, what's your next question there?
How did that relationship play out in your early years? Did he come to your playground?
He was absolutely the mastermind of my playground. Our mother would not let us fight. So when Joe and I were little, we're 5 years apart. So brother and sister, I wanted to be with my bigger brother. He didn't want any part of his little sister. So, but when we would fight, our mothers would send us to our room. And instead of punishing us and lecturing us, she would just quietly wait for him to crawl out of his window to come and grab me out of my window so that we would figure it out on our own. So Joe is the mastermind of my playground, and he absolutely was my biggest fan. He also tried to drown me, so I can't let him off too quickly, but it did. It made a real difference that our mother instilled in us that closeness, which is the reason that we're together today.
Give me that again. So if you guys were like fighting as kids, what would Mom do and what would the resolution to it all be?
Instead of lecturing or punishing us, she would send us to our rooms to let us think about it. You know, we're thinking people, she would say. And what would ultimately happen is about 2 or 3 minutes in, we would miss each other. And so Joe would crawl out of his bedroom window and come and knock on my bedroom window and pull me out of my window. And we would go on about our day. She would never say a word about it. But what she was doing for us then was exactly what, you know, we still do today. We figure it out. We learn to compromise. I missed him the most when we were in our rooms. And so whatever we were fighting about became really irrelevant.
Almost inseparable.
We're absolutely inseparable. Mom happy about it. You ask Joe, he might not be so happy.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here? Who's got the, Beth, Michael?
Yeah, so basically you are using development to build a better world?
Absolutely. I like to think so.
Mm-hmm. So what's the importance of being a tomboy in all this story that you're telling us?
So I'm the general contractor. I'm the one on the job site every day in the dirt and the mud. I lay tile. I can still do a lot of the work myself. Thankfully, I don't have to. We have a really good crew of about 350 subcontractors.
Yeah, but you're not afraid to get your hands dirty.
Absolutely not. In fact, I prefer it. You guys see me kind of dressed up today, but this is not the norm. I did this for you. Normally, I'm on a job site dirty in the trenches every day from about 6 in the morning until about 7 at night.
Really, not a cushy job sitting in an office, you know, feet up on a desk and just kind of counting the money?
Not at all counting the money. That's great. No, I hardly ever go to the office. I go in maybe one day a week to do design selections, but the rest of the time I'm eating lunch in my car or on the job site with our guys.
So you're still being the tomboy, but the adult version of that.
I'm the adult version of the tomboy with good nails. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you're watching the interaction in these communities that you're developing to learn what should be done different and better. You're constantly improving them, it sounds like, in terms of causing the interaction.
Absolutely. All the neighbors. It's a really nice feeling that the neighbors have direct access to me. Before we do any project, I knock on every door and give them my business card.
Give me that again. Before you do a development, you knock on every door and you want to talk to the people?
I do.
Why?
I want them to have direct access to me. It's a pain to live next door to a construction site, even if it's quick. There's dirt, there's debris, there's people you don't know, and everyone has the same fear. Mm-hmm. Are you going to come in and do something positive?
Gotcha.
Are you going to put harm?
What's the website address for this organization?
Districtdesigners.com.
Let me have that one more time.
It's districtdesigners.com.
We've been speaking with Yvette Freeman, who's Principal and Managing Partner of District Design and Development here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Yeah, we nailed that. And your name is?
I'm Mike Battaglia.
And the name of the organization, Mike?
Brighton Jones.
And what kind of stuff do you guys do?
We are an independent registered investment advisor.
Mm-hmm. And give me an idea of what kind of help do you give your clients? What's that list of stuff you give them a hand with?
We focus on wealth management, from everything from investments, estate planning, insurance, company benefits, taxes, and charitable giving.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for 20 years with Brighton Jones for the last 7.
And why are you doing it? What turns you on about your gig?
I'm really passionate about helping people. I've done mentoring in the past throughout my entire life and really focused on how can I help people.
You think financial planning has something to do with mentoring? What do you mean?
I'm helping coach my clients to help them focus on making their lives better.
And give me an idea of the variety of things you're looking at, you're trying to take into consideration here. What was that list look like again?
Investments, estate planning, taxes, charitable giving, company benefits, and insurance.
So you're talking to somebody about all the different aspects of their life, so you're actually serving as like a quarterback or as a coach, it sounds like. Is that
exactly
fair to say?
Right. That's exactly right.
So you're talking to people, you're getting to know them pretty well, and evidently they must trust you in order to go that deep, and then what you're doing is putting a plan together to integrate all this kind of stuff.
That's right. Exactly right.
So you're like a personal CFO or something like that.
That's what we call ourselves.
What do you mean?
So, you know, I really want to get to know our clients on a deeper level. You know, a typical investment advisory relationship is focused on the investments, but we go much deeper than that and make sure we understand what a client wants to accomplish in their life and help. Whatever I can do to help them get there, that's what I want to
say. And what's the website address of this organization?
BrightonJones.com.
How do you spell that?
BrightonJones.com.
And your name again is?
Mike Battaglia.
And your title there is Lead Advisor?
Correct.
And the name of the organization one last time?
Brighton Jones.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and 3-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the 5 little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.T. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Anton Bizzell, CEO of the Bizzell Group. Anton, what is the Bizzell Group?
Yes, we are a management consulting firm located in Atlanta, Maryland, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. We provide services in the areas of management consulting, technology, as well as other solutions for the federal government.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We now are approximately 60 employees.
Mm-hmm. And where are you from originally?
I'm originally from New Bern, North Carolina.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I have three sisters, and so it's four of us all together.
So you have three sisters, but you told us earlier that you grew up as an only child, but also with three sisters. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, and so in growing up in North Carolina, my mother, I'm the oldest of the four of us, and so I'm the first one, and so I grew up as an only child for my mother, but my father also had three other kids, and so we're growing up with three sisters all together. We always met during the summers or during holidays.
So how'd that affect you growing up an only child but also with three sisters?
It allowed me to really be the leader of our siblings and also the peacemaker. And so it's like I had to be the peacemaker for my siblings, but also growing up by myself, I also had to be really that inventor or ingenious to really find ways to really play with yourself sometimes or to just, you know, have fun with yourself.
So earlier you were telling us that mom would play word games with you when you were a little kid. How young and what kind of word games and what effect did that have on you?
Yes. So my mother, she would make me go to the thesaurus, and it was almost like we would have to like really find words pretty fast. And so I would have to open the thesaurus and find a word or the dictionary. And so it really gave me, it really pushed me towards academic excellence because it allowed me to really expand my vocabulary, to really really think about other ways outside of just the traditional way of learning, mm-hmm. but allowed me some other ways to really
go. Did you tell us you worked in the blueberry fields and the tobacco farm and some other stuff? How young were you when you started making money? What were some of those experiences?
I was pretty young. In fact, I used to, my uncle, who was actually one of my inspiring relatives, we actually would go out into the farm or to the tobacco farm every Saturday morning, pick tobacco in the hot sun, and come back during the daytime and somewhere around 12 o'clock finish work. But at the end of the day, we would receive like $5.
All right, and you also worked in a blueberry farm or something?
Yes, it was this place called Morris Blueberry Farm in North Carolina.
How young were you when you were doing that?
Yes, I was still young. I was probably somewhere between 11 and 12.
Didn't you tell us you were inventing something back then?
Yes, in the blueberry farm. we would like really find these buckets and put holes in them to sort of like collect the blueberries all at one time versus just in small individuals.
All right, so you worked on a tobacco farm, you worked on a blueberry farm, and now it says here you're the CEO of the Bizzell Group. What did working in that tobacco farm, in that blueberry farm, what's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
That's a good question, because really growing up in that particular area and working in the tobacco and the blueberry field, it really taught me a lot as far as hard work. We would go out early in the morning, so I would have to wake up while it was dark, go to work, and then somewhere around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, finish up. And so that really allowed me to really work early. And So it's like the early bird gets the worm.
Did you also surprise us, aside from growing up and working on a tobacco and blueberry farm and now running... you're the CEO of this business. Didn't you also tell us that you're a doctor?
Yes, I am.
What kind of doctor are you?
So I'm a family physician, but I also worked in the addiction medicine field. And so from that point on, I know that's a strange way to get to the to an office of a CEO. But I used to do research as an undergrad and also during residency.
How young were you when you realized that you realized? Give us an example of how young were you when you realized you realized. Now, you grew up without a dad and a single mom. Tell us about how young were you.
Yeah, I was really young. I remember one time when we moved to California, and I was actually running track in California, and there was one time that I actually fell. I was supposed to have really crossed the finish line first, and so I was doing the 330 hurdles, and I was turning that last corner, and I fell. And in falling, I got back up, got back into the game, and I finished second. And even though I finished second, for me, that was still finishing first because I finished something that I started.
So it seems to me that the mom placed pretty high expectations on your shoulders, especially with those word games and the thesaurus at the age of two or three. And the reason that memory is so important to you is you thought you slipped and fell. And that's not like you. Your nature is to drive hard. Is that fair to say?
That is very fair to say.
Beth, what question do you have?
So you talked about you grew up in North Carolina, but when you were young, you moved out to Southern California. What was that like for you?
Let me tell you, Southern California in the 80s was very different. We're talking about the Valley Girls. We're talking about a lot of things that it was different from growing up in rural North Carolina. So I saw where rural North Carolina was very segregated at the time, but going out to California, it was very diverse. And so it really opened up a whole new world for me.
John?
Of those two very different experiences growing up, what is the influence each of them bring to the way you run your firm these days?
That's a very good question as well. Growing up in North Carolina, it allowed me to really see, and that was really one of the impetuses of going into medicine. I grew up in a town where there were three African-American physicians, and then I saw where a lot of my relatives would not go to the physician because they didn't have anyone that looked like them. And so that was really one of the driving forces for me going into medicine. And then going to California, going to a whole different world, it allowed me to see a whole diverse population that I had never seen before, and which allowed me really allow the aspects that I used today, even in business, on really about diversity as well as inclusion with many folks, and really going after really trying to really drive what it is with that individual to really make them become something that they may not have thought about themselves.
Ryan?
Anton, at a young age, you had a lot of jobs where you worked hard in the sun, you're sweating all day, you came home, and you probably just wanted to go to bed because you were dead tired. Did that have an effect upon, I mean, you're a smart guy, did that have an effect upon you, like, I want more, I don't want to be doing this, I want to go, build a business, go to medical school?
Yeah, what was the effect of that stuff?
Yeah, it did. So after coming out of the sun in the day, I would still work hard. And so there were other things that I would do, like I had a newspaper route. And so even in the newspaper route, I would still work in the blueberry farm and then still do, like, newspapers in the evening.
You're a hardworking guy. Anton, what's the website address of this Bizzell Group?
Yes, thebizzellgroup.com.
How do you spell that?
thebizzell.com.
Okay. Is it bizzellgroup.com?
Yes, bizzellgroup.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Anton Bizzell, CEO of the Bizzell Group, here on Executive Leaders, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Kathleen Sober, President and COO, E3 Federal Solutions, Francisca Alonzo, CEO and co-founder of AV Architects and Builders, Jimmy Venza, Executive Director of the Laurie Center for Children's Social and Emotional Wellness, and again, most recently, Anton Bizzell, CEO of the Bizzell Group. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Tom McBride, Cressa, John Hill, and George Mason University, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Andrew Woolridge, Patayo Carp, Brett Friedman, DeLeon and Stang, and Beth Johnson, RP3 Agency, for giving me instruction and the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy, what a nice show.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.